This podcast is being brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mile of Music offers 1 mile of free musical performances with over 200 artists as well as over 900 shows throughout the four-day event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities, and it's growing every year. Over 80,000 people attended the festival in 2018, and it's even getting bigger. I'd love to introduce you to the Bellwether, Eric from the Bellwether. Thanks for coming in. We do appreciate it.
Hey, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. More than happy to have you here.
Wonderful to be here.
One of the obvious questions I have to ask is, how did you find out about the Mile of Music? What's been your experiences here? You know, maybe a unique experience or an anecdote.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's such a wonderful music community, and that's actually how we were kind of brought into this. A guy who runs an internet radio station here, Kent Walsh, who has the Great Unknown Radio, he discovered us long ago and started playing our music, and one of his friends heard us on the radio station and asked us to come and play his 50th birthday party, and introduced us to a bunch of people here, who we've, you know, since that time we've played in their driveways, in their living rooms. The whole community has really just embraced us. And I guess through those channels, some of the Mile of Music people heard of us and invited us to come and play. I think it was 4 years ago we played our first sets here at Mile. And it's just been an incredible experience.
Cool, good story. That's really cool. Awesome. You know, tell us about your new album, Don't Let Your Blood Run Still. You know, it's coming out this September.
Yes.
It's coming out pretty quick.
Yeah,
now,
it's really coming up. I'm so excited about this. You get excited about every record you put out. But this one's really special. Last summer, I had an idea to just go into the studio and record some of our older songs with a cellist and a violin player who could come in and just kind of elevate them and you know that beautiful music that kind of, you know, it's and so we went in the studio and we did this over the course of a weekend, and coming out of that, you know, I was talking with the engineer and he said, you know, you really have something here. Come back, properly track this out, go home with this idea in mind and write a bunch of songs that can be supported by a string quartet, essentially. And so I went back and I started writing new songs and with this idea in mind. And Thea Voras in Milwaukee, she's a cellist. And our good friend Marissa Shepherd here, who went to Lawrence here in Appleton. She's in Appleton. Tom Abramidis, who's been playing bass with me for the last 5 years, I think. We all got together in the studio and started putting together this huge orchestral folk rock album. And then at the end of the sessions, the engineer jumped in. He's an amazing drummer. His name's Shane Hochstetler, runs Howell Street Recordings in Milwaukee, and has played drums with a bunch of bands, most notably Call Me Lightning. And he jumped in and laid down just unbelievable percussion that just took it to a, everything was already amazing, and then he just elevated again, and I couldn't be more excited about
the record. Sounds like you had a lot of fun making it.
Oh, it was so much fun, yeah.
I can see it in your face,
yeah, thanks.
Definitely.
I think lots of times you bring in a string section as support, as kind of background to bring some lush elements into the music that's already there. The idea that I had, I knew the players that we had, you know, Thea and Marissa and Tom were not your average. You don't want them to be in the background. Mm-hmm. And so in the studio, we challenged them constantly to come up with. And we're all sitting down and writing themes, and I really wanted them to be in the forefront. And just like, you know, vocal lines and melodies can be hooks in the song, I wanted the parts that they were playing to be thematic and memorable, you know, like a movie score that you hum along to, and those are the parts of the songs that really grab you and bring you in. They're not background in this. They are absolutely in the forefront, and I really love, you know, just the songs were just a platform for them to be as amazing as I knew they could be, and they stepped up and
yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it. I really am.
Thank you.
Really am. You know, you started a PR campaign on the new album, and you're starting a Kickstarter campaign. Share with your fans what that is and how they can help you out.
Yeah, I mean, Kickstarter is a crowdfunding source. I think it's probably the most famous platform for something like this. We're about to drop a new Kickstarter next week. That'll be the first week of August coming up here. We recorded the whole album on my savings. I should say the artist formerly known as My Savings, because it's gone now, which is fine. That's why you have savings, to make records. And but we're getting to the end of this here, and you know, it was something. I knew we had something really special in these songs. And again, you feel. I don't want to sound arrogant or anything like that, but I almost thought about not putting vocals on this album because the music that was made with the string section was just so beautiful. And I heard something that really belonged in a movie score or in indie films or something like that. And so this Kickstarter is to help us create a campaign to get either an agent or enough press to hopefully score some of those placements in film, or again, I want to showcase what amazing musicians I got to play along with. I just feel fortunate and don't want to miss this opportunity. So,
right, be sure to check out the Kickstarter campaign starting in August.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely check that out. Tell us when you first realized music and performing. Mark, what was the moment you had the epiphany that, you know, I want to do this for a living? This is really what my life is about. This is my passion.
Sure. I still hope to do this for a living at some point.
Oh, okay.
At this point, it's just a passion project, and I have a regular day job. We all have. Everyone in the Bellwether has regular day jobs, and we do this on weeknights when we know we can cheat sleep a little bit and kind of zombie walk through work the next day or on weekends. For me, I didn't start playing music until I was about 20 years old. My uncle gave me this beat-up old Ovation guitar with a plastic back and a big crack in the top of it and strings that were an inch and a half off the fretboard something you really had to wrestle with it. It wasn't so much playing music as taming this thing.
I'd love to have seen those calluses when you started playing.
You know, the first time I played a really decent guitar, it seemed easy because I had been wrestling with this monster for so long up to that point.
May have been a blessing in disguise, though. It may not have seemed like that at the time.
Absolutely. But, I mean, as soon as I learned a few chords and learned how to change between and started thinking about, like, I can write songs, like I can, you know, and I fell in love with it immediately. It's all I've wanted to do since that moment, and it's been.
It's great to find your passion like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
But I think coming to it later actually helped me too. I think if you play music your entire life, you think you grow out of it, or it's just something that you do at some point, and I feel. Like, I still feel like I'm making up for lost time, and so there's an immediacy to it, and I feel the same way about it today as I did when I first picked it up.
I have no doubt you guys keep going. You'll be able to make a living on it. There you go, definitely. You know, what about making music drives you? I mean, you know, to do what you do, especially as a passion project, so on and so forth, what gets you up in the morning, pushes you out the door, and keeps you doing it? Because there's a lot of commitment to this.
It's a lot of commitment. And I think you have to love every element of it to keep doing it. You have to love the long drives and the miles. You have to love wrapping up cables and setting up PA systems and managing schedules. If you don't
all the glamorous part.
Yes. If you don't love every aspect of it, you stop. I would have learned this lesson long ago, and I haven't learned it yet. I do love doing all of it. I think, you know, the same thing that started, you know, that I started with still drives me now. I've always been a storyteller. My college degree is in creative writing. It's the most useless degree in literature. I mean,
it's working for you now.
It's working for me. Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to pay off my student loans with my music money, and that's fine. But I do love telling stories, and I love reading great stories, and I hope I can write some stories that mean something to people. And, you know, it's that thing where at the end of the work week, you have an audience in front of you, and you're standing on a stage, and you're sharing a story, and they're reacting to it, and at some point that exchange of energy they elevate the music, and you elevate at the end of their week, and there's a camaraderie there, and you're sharing this experience. That brings me back time and time again. That's as good as it gets.
It kind of segues into a question I want to ask you that we didn't talk about, but as you write a song and you perform it, and then you perform it live, what's the evolution for you from the first time you play it to the 10th or the 50th or the 100th time, and how does the audience reaction, you know, evolve your music? Or
that's a great question. I love that question. especially when I think about how this project came about with the new album. You know, we took a couple of songs that were on the last album that I really loved, and I wanted to tell in a different way, you know, with the strings and in an elevated fashion. And you know, there's been so many derivations of this band. I mean, when we first started, we were a proper indie rock band with drums and electric guitars, and you know, people grow up and they get married and they buy houses and they leave the band at some point, and every time someone does that, you have a new instrument to replace, but also a new energy and a new way of telling stories to replace. And so the last big change was losing the drummer, and all of a sudden it was myself and Tom. And Tom had just picked up an upright bass, which was a really, really unique thing to have on stage all of a sudden. And so we start telling these stories that have been, you know, electric rock numbers, and all of a sudden they're these little acoustic ballad numbers, and we found it really connected with an audience in a very different way. And I could stand on a stage and I could tell stories before songs, and it was less of a spectacle. You know, the rock ideology where you've got to get up there and rock out and keep going, and we still have elements of that in the show. But there are quiet elements now too, where I can tell stories behind the songs and really bring people into that world and tell them where they came from. And
so that's got to be near and dear to your heart, being a writer and a storyteller. You know, to be able to blend that with your music,
yeah,
it's got to be a treat.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting evolution for me personally,
cool.
To be on a stage and get to bring people into this world. Every show becomes a house concert now, especially if, you know, the best audiences that we have are the ones where you have those quiet moments, you know, where they're leaning in just a little bit, and you know, you don't have to jump right into the next song to keep their interest. You've got them.
You got them, yeah.
And they care about the songs, and it means something to them. And you know, that's you know, when someone comes up to you after a show and they're like, you know, I'm going through this right now, or this reminded me of a friend I have, or you know. And the positive things too, where it's like, man, I had a terrible week, and that song always just lifts me up, and
you know, you touch their soul.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we do this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very powerful too. You know, how have other styles influenced your music? Because you've gone through a bit of an evolution in the style of music that you get. So I'm curious how that evolved and what the forces behind that were.
Yeah, I mean, I've always listened to a pretty diverse set of music, going from what's out there right now on the patio. my first musical love was Pearl Jam. I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard it. I was in the barn. I was throwing hay bales around as a kid, and all of a sudden I hear Alive come on the stereo in the barn, which, you know, could only pick up a channel once every 5 days, and here we are, and you know, clear as a bell, I hear that opening riff, and fell in love with that music, and following that band, I think, throughout the course of their career, you know, they've done acoustic things, and Eddie Vedder's done a ukulele album, and it just seemed like there weren't any constructs on what they were doing.
They weren't limited. They were experimenting and reaching, trying to add new things.
Sure. And then they talk about their influences a lot, and so I start listening to Neil Young and The Who, and you know, my dad goes, well, if you like The Who and Neil Young, like, and then he introduces me to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, and so as a, you know, as a 12-year-old kid, all of a sudden I have all of these great influences, and then I combine that with the grunge era and fall in love with U2 and start listening to 80s Peter Gabriel. And so I've got all these different things coming in, from psychedelic rock and grunge to singer-songwriters. And I mean, we all stand on the shoulders of these geniuses, and we steal little bits of all of them. And I'm just the
Actually,
next
that's
in line.
The biggest form of flattery, really.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful tribute, I think, and also to take, you know, to take each of those ideas and to go, well, if I put them together and don't lose myself in it, because I have this sound that's uniquely me,
mm-hmm.
and our band has always had to, you know, constantly stay true to itself, and this is, I think that's where the artistry comes in, you know, where you know that you can't do this because it's not you, and if you push it too far in that direction, well, that's not you either, but somewhere right down the center, there's this blend of all of your influences, and each other member in the band also brings those different, you know, different feels to the music, and
well, the authenticity comes through.
Yeah, thank you.
It really does. You've developed a unique blend of styles, you know, resulting in a creative sound, and you really do have a unique sound.
I've always thought about each song as a new story. And, you know, it just like a writer has to serve the story, and you might not like where that character has to go, but you know that's where that character would go. And I feel very much the same about the music, where, you know, each song has a central character or a theme to it, and you think about, well, what does that sound like? You know, what style would the lead in this story, like, what would that person listen to? Or I remember hearing a John Denver interview once, where he was talking about a conversation he had with Pavarotti, and he said something about, if he's delivering a line about clouds, he wants to let those words roll off his tongue in the way that, like, the sound is how clouds look. And John Denver said something to the effect that he would never think about singing the same way again. And I've always held on to that story and thought about it very similarly, where it's, you know, the
what
character
does
and
sight sound,
you know, what
like?
Is this,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's, how does this all fit together? Because it's, you know, every, especially a live experience, is so many things. It's visual and it's aural and it's
dynamic.
Yeah, it's, yeah. If it's done well, you capture all of those things. And what does this feel like? So yeah, I mean, every song sort of follows that path. And if it's going to be a little acoustic ballad, it's that. And if it's a rocker, it's that. And
so what I hear you say is that, if I hear it correctly, is the story drives the song.
Yeah, the story
and
drives the song.
Whatever the story is, the music serves the story to take the words and create a sound, or a sight rather, to the sound.
Yeah, just,
does that make sense?
Yeah, just serve the song and
okay, cool.
Follow it,
awesome.
Hopefully without ego, you know.
Sight and sound together. I have to say, I've never even thought of what does something look like, sound like. That's fascinating. Anything else you want to share with the audience, your fans? Anything else you want them to know?
We're just thrilled to be back here at Milo Music. It's such an amazing community, and we get up here probably once a month. And whether we're here on a Tuesday night or a Saturday night, the level of support and enthusiasm is always the same. It always feels like a Saturday night crowd when you're here. So we're just thrilled to be back here in this community, and it's the first time I'm able to bring the string quartet here to play these songs, and it's brand new to us, so there's that new energy with it and electricity, and we're really, really thrilled to be here this
very
week.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you here for sure. Thanks for coming in. I just want to be sure that you add the Mild Music as your must-attend summer festival. There's no other venue where you can experience more music that is absolutely free. 60-plus locations, over 200 artists, and over 900 shows. Stellar Blue Technology, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music. Thanks to the Bellwether. Eric, thanks for coming in. We do appreciate you taking your valuable time with us and sharing with us your thoughts and process.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.